हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. See, in Shastra teaching, whenever chit aspect of the reality is brought to light, then you can understand it is jiva vichara, jiva swarupa. Chit always is reality is available for recognition as chit, the consciousness. Means it is always as the jiva swarupam. Whenever sat aspect of the reality is discussed, it is sat nature. See, chit also is nature of reality. Sat is also nature of the reality. And the reality is one and the same, which is of this nature. Then it is sat aspect means as the truth of the jagat. So chit aspect means as the truth of the individual. Sat aspect means truth of the jagat. And the sat and chit are not two. Chit is sat, sat is chit. So here, then we miss the Brahma. We look at this, the nature of the reality, as the sat aspect of the reality, use the term Brahma. The chit as we use the term Atma. But Atma and Brahma are one the same. So here in this Panchadashi, the second chapter, and the very title tells you the Panchabhutas are taken for analysis here. So they say Panchabhuta, the Bhuta Panchakam, Bhuta Prakaranam. It's a Mahabhuta Prakaranam because elements are taken for analysis. Panchabhuta Viveka Prakaranam. So here, the main unfoldment is of the walk statement from Chandogya Upanishad, which says, see, finally, what is in this chapter, what is that the teacher, the Acharya, Vidyaranya Swami, what is that he wants to establish here? We have to see all that is here is Brahma. All that is here is only the reality. So the ignorant person will see this whole thing as universe of, you know, universe of, you know, the plurality and multiplicity and diversity. But the wise person will see this whole universe as one non-dual reality. The same thing is looked at differently by two different people. By the whole jagat is seen as the truth by a person of vision. The ignorant person looks at this as jagat. So what is jagat for an ignorant person is Brahma for a wise person. What is Brahman for a wise person is jagat for the ignorant person. Is it jagat or is it Brahma? If you say it is jagat, it is right answer. says Brahma is also right. which is right? Jagat is also, this is right. Jagat is right. This, which is more right here? If both are, there can't be two right things. No? One is right, one is more right. The whole Jagat is Brahma, if you say, it is more right. If Jagat means it's right, but it is not absolutely right, isn't it? This is Jagat, but this Jagat is Brahma. Nothing but Brahma. Two ways of seeing it. So here, now we all see the Jagat. And Vidyarana Swami's effort is to make us see Brahma. The same Jagat without changing anything in the Jagat. No, but he has to make us see Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. This is now the perspective of the Jagat has to change without changing the Jagat. So for us to have the different perspective of the Jagat as Brahma, we will say what? There is no, all that is, there is only Brahma. There is no Jagat. Brahman alone has Jagat. For that, the whole teaching is given here. When you see the whole Jagat as Brahma, the perspective changes, and you see that Brahma, which alone is here in the form of the universe, is nothing but Ahamasmi, I am. You see one's own self also, not only the Jagat is Brahma, that Brahma, the Jagat which is Brahma, is myself, Ahamasmi. Finally, you have to get that also. That's the aim. That is when we benefit from the knowledge. The whole teaching goes like this. So here the main statement taken for discussion is Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Ekameva Dvitiyam. All that was there was only Brahma, which was Sat, the pure existence, and which is Ekam one, which is non-dual. So, and here it has come to the point, and we last in all these last few classes, we've been repeatedly seeing one thing. Repeatedly, one thing has been discussed in all these things, that how if you have to establish oneness of the reality, and you have to say reality is one, you have to establish, and that only reality, when you say one means what? Secondless you have to establish. Second, not only second, it's non-dual also you have to say, which means there's nothing other than the reality. See, these three words finally make you understand the fact the one secondless non-dual reality alone is, means there is nothing other than the reality here. All it is, there is only the reality. When you say that, there is no I, there is no this. And in this vision, what is the benefit, final benefit? You have to resolve yourself in that Brahma. It's called losing oneself in the vision of the truth. And losing one's individuality is losing one's own self. Losing means what? Losing in having the vision of the true reality, you lose your individuality. In losing individuality, actually there is all the misconceptions about the self also will be resolved along with the individuality. And that is where moksha is. Therefore, the whole teaching is here. And so, therefore, this the Bheda Trayam, why Vidyarana Swami discusses these threefold differences? That only possible, if at all you say, the three limitations also we understand. If at all I talk about the limitations, whenever you need to understand the meaning of the word Brahma, Brahma means when it is said Brihatvat Brahma, due to its bigness, it means what? Due to the bigness, the reality is implied by the word Brahma. So bigness implies limitlessness. So limitlessness. And the limitlessness of reality is free from threefold limitation. How many limitations are there? The only three possible limitations are taken into account. We should be very, very clear. Shastram does not talk about the fourth limitation, fifth limitation, all that. To understand the limitless bigness, understand the limitlessness, isn't it? Shastram talks only about threefold limitations. So the reality, the truth, the vastu, No, is vastu is the word. The reality, the truth, the vastu is not, is free from threefold limitations. So being free from these threefold limitations is being free, not being object to threefold limitations. Otherwise, it's called being limitless. And being limitless is what? Limitlessness. You have to arrive at one by one, okay? Limitlessness means being limitless. Being limitless means being free from limitations. How many? Three limitations. Therefore, being free from threefold limitations in terms of time, space, object. So, time being free from time, space, and object. Threefold limitations. Being time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless is being limitless. And being limitless means limitlessness. And therefore, limitlessness is what is limitlessness? That's the nature. That is how the reality is. The reality, how the reality is, that's how the reality is. Reality is being free from these threefold limitations. Therefore, the word Brahma reveals, implies reality. You can say reality is implied by the word Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Is it? Similarly, now when you want to say that reality, okay, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is one, secondless, non-dual. Only these three words very important. Ekam, Advitiyam, Advayam is very important. Only then you can say what? All that is, there is only Brahma, only the reality. Which means there's no Jagat, it's only reality. And if at all you talk about the Jagat, it's only Mithya, it's only appearance of that only reality. This is called perspective change of the world. So, and to establish that, he talks about the why Vidyarana Swami is discussing the differences. And how many differences are there? Again, these are the main threefold differences. We can talk about so many differences, but here, these are very important, isn't it? So here, Sajatiya Bhedaha, Vijatiya Bhedaha, Swagata Bhedaha, Sajatiya Bhedaha, and Vijatiya Bhedaha. So Swagata Bheda also you have to talk about, because there's not in one object which you can say that is which is by itself. Every object here, every object, everything which is part and parcel of this whole universe is, in fact, many things put together. Everything is a composite of many factors, a composition of many factors. Not even one thing which is just by itself. Therefore, every object, if you see, subject to these internal divisions, differences, called Swagata Veda, within itself, within the object, one object itself has many other differences. So, Sajatiya Bhedaha. Then, Swagata Bhedaha. So, every object is subject to is the Swagata Bhedaha. Better it is, let me use Sanskrit word itself. Okay, Swagata Bheda. Then, every object being different from the object of the same species. Every object is different from every other object of the same species. So cow, it is the example of cow. The cow as an animal has its own Swagata Bheda. The horns are different, the teeth are different, the body is different, legs are different, tail is different, udder is different. But the same cow is different from another cow. Every, isn't it? It's called Sajati Bheda. Within cow's jati, this cow is different from the other cow. Sajatiya Bheda. But again, Vijatiya Bheda, cow is different from horse. Cow is different from buffalo. Cow is different from elephant. Cow is different from dog or cat or anything else. I'm taking only one example to make it easy. It's called Vijatiya Bheda. So these are the threefold differences. Okay, so here, not even one thing in this universe, one object in this universe, not even one element or the elemental, which is not subject to these threefold differences. Everything subject to Swagata Bheda, subject to Sajatiya Bheda, subject to Vijatiya Bheda, all three differences. And if it has one thing which is free from these threefold differences, is Brahma, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth. And implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Atma in terms of its nature of all-pervasiveness. The word Brahma itself implies what? All-pervasiveness also. Limitlessness, na? Spaciousness comes there. Therefore, all these verses were repeatedly discussing that only when it was established. But still, the last bit. Therefore, we understood. We were seeing the Sadantaram Sajatiyam.
Sadantaram
Sajatiyam. Navailakshanyavarjanat. Navailakshanyavarjanat. Namarupopadibedam. Namarupopadibedam. Vina naivasato bhida. Vina naivasato bhida. So the verse. See, the verse 23 establishes the Swagata Bheda Rahityam. Brahman being not object to Swagata Bheda is established in the 23rd verse. And verse 24 establishes Brahman reality being free from Sajatiya Bheda. And 25 establishes Brahman being free from Vijatiya Bheda. So each verse, 23rd, 4th and 5. Three verses. So here the 24th establishes the fact of Brahman being free from Sajatiya Bheda. So Sad Antaram Sajatiyam Na Vailakshanya Varjanat. So Vilakshana Varjan Na Vailakshanya Varjanat. Nama Rupa Upadhi Vedam Vina Naiva Sataha Bhida. So there are nama rupa upadhi bedas, upadhi, that beda is there, but still there is no second existence. It's a parallel reality. Therefore, it is free from sajatiya beda. But vijatiya beda only is going to be little, people are going to get some confusions. Therefore, he is going to establish very clearly in one verse. He really concludes it very clearly. He says, Vijatiyamasattattu Nakhalvastiti Gamyate Nakhalvastiti Gamyate Vijatiyamasattattu Nakhalvastiti Gamyate Nakhalvastiti Gamyate Nasyatav Pratiyogitvam
Nasyatav
Pratiyogitvam Vijatiyat Bida Kutaha
Vijatiyat
Bida Kutaha Vijatiyamasattattu
Vijatiyamasattattu
Tattu nakhalvastiti gamyate
nakhalvastiti gamyate
nasyatav pratiyogitvam
nasyatav
pratiyogitvam vijatiyad bhida kutaha
vijatiyad
bhida kutaha. So here, okay, the absolute reality, ultimate truth, obtaining existence of everything, the pure existence, is free from Sajatiya Bheda and also Swagata Bheda. Now, Vijatiyam, what is now Vijatiya Bheda, so free from Vijatiya Bheda, how Vidyadharma establishes, look at this. See, Kau is different from dog? Are cow is different from anything and everything other than the cow? Isn't it? If cow is one cow, is different from another cow, it is ajatiya bheda, isn't it? Is it a difference within its own species? But cow is different from any non-cow. Cow is different from non-cow means what? Anything and everything other than the cow is called what? Non-cow. Isn't it? Therefore, this is called Vijatiya Veda. Now here, if what is Sat, for Sat, if you take Sat, the pure existence, the reality as pure existence, so what is anything other than the reality, anything and everything other than the cow, so with reference to example of cow, anything other than the cow is non-cow. Anything other than dog is what? Non-dog. Isn't it? So here, anything other than Sat is what? Non-Sat. Non-Sat means what? Asat. Isn't it? Asat means what? Asat means non-existence. Non-existent. Asat is non-existent. Therefore, it's not possible. Isn't it? The existence, anything other than existence is what? Non, you have to understand example, okay? Non-cow, non-dog, so non-sat. Non-asat. Asat means non-existent. Therefore, there is no such thing called non-existence. Why there is no non-existent? Because it's non-existent. It's non-existent. Therefore, he said, the first line he says very simply, Vijatiyam is what? Asat. What is Vijatiyam? What is, isn't it? What is that is other than Sat is what? Asat. Anything other than, suppose for a, with a, we give examples, with reference to cow, Vijatiyam is what? Anything other than cow is non-cow. Non-cow is Vijatiyam. With reference to cat, non-cat is Vijatiya. Isn't it? Non-Vijatiya. So if we say non-elephant is what? Vijatiya. Is it clear? Vijatiya means what? Different from. So therefore, if it is same way, if we understand, anything other than Sat is what? Non-Sat. Non-Sat is Asat. He says, Vijatiyam Asat. What is not Sat? What is not Sat is Asat. Vijatiyam is Asat. Tat tu, and that Asat, Nakalu Asti, Iti Gamyate. It's understood. Iti Gamyate means what? It is understood. This fact is very, very clearly, doubtlessly understood that Nakalu Asti, non-existence is not there. Non-existent thing is not there. Non-existence is not there. Why non-existence is not there? Because it is non-existence. Is it clear? It's very nicely he put very clearly. Vijatiyam is Asat. That which is not Sat is Asat. That which is not dog, anything other than the dog alone has what? Vijatiya Bheda. Isn't it? Therefore, here also, when we give all, anything and everything you can say, you have to use this word not, non, isn't it? So with reference to this example of dog, anything other than the dog is non-dog. Anything other than cow is a non-cow. Anything other than a monkey is what? A non-monkey. For Vijatiya Bheda. Has what? Vijatiya Bheda. Now monkey has a Vijatiya Bheda. Buffalo has a vijatiya bheda. Now, any tree, mango tree has a vijatiya bheda. Why, anything other than a mango tree is what? Non-mango tree. Vijatiya bheda. So, if we understand, anything other than sat is what? Non-sat. Asat. So here, vijatiyam asat. What is non? Anything other than sat is what? Asat. Asat. And astattu na kalu asti iti gamyate. And there's no such a thing called non-existence. Therefore, there's no non-existence. Therefore, sat has no vijatiya bheda. Why sat has no vijatiya bheda? Because there's no such thing called asat. And the same thing, what is sixth said in the first line is in the second line also, the same thing is explained, but in the language of Tarkikas, logicians' language, same thing. There's what is that which is not sat? Is asat. And asat is non-existence. There's no, it is not there. Non-existence is not there. Why non-existence is not there? Because it is non-existence. Therefore, sat has no vijatiya bheda. It is free from vijatiya bheda. This is what is established in the first line. The second line, the same fact is established in the language of a logician, tarkika. So, goodness. Na asya ataha pratyogitvam vijatiyad bhida kutaha. What he says, if we give example here, if I say elephant is different from deer, or elephant is different from cow, elephant is different from buffalo, elephant is different from tiger, elephant is different from lion. If I say, so that a given animals, given object from which this particular object is said to be different from, that from, that animal which goes that from is said to be what? No, said to be pratyogi beda, beda pratyogi. What is beda pratyogi? From the standpoint of cow, say cow is different from elephant. Now, elephant is Veda Pratyogi for the cow. If we say cow is different from elephant, elephant is different from cow, cow is different from elephant. If we say from what? Cow is different from elephant means from what? Cow is different. If we say, and just I say, simply say cow is different. Immediately that word different makes you ask the question, from what? From which? From whom? Cow is different. If I say and stop this sentence, you will ask what? It's incomplete. From what? From whom? From which? From what you ask? That the answer for that from what is called Bheda Pratyogi. Bheda. Technically, it's called, don't break your head. If you don't understand, also no problem. But it is in Tarka Shastra, it's called Bheda Pratyogi. If I say elephant is different from cow, what is, no? It's called Bheda Pratyogi. Cow is Bheda Pratyogi for the elephant. If cow is different from elephant, if I say, for the cow, elephant is Bheda Pratyogi. Bheda Pratyogi. The technical term. And if there is a Bheda Pratyogi, it's called Vijatiya Bheda. Understand? Because man is different from woman. Man is different. From whom? From what? We say the answer for that from what, from whom, from which is said to be what now? Bheda Pratiyogi. Man is different from woman means woman is Bheda Pratiyogi for the man. We say woman is different from man if I say for a woman, man is Bheda Pratiyogi. An animal is different from a human being. Means a human being is Veda Pratyogi for an animal. Human being is different from animal. No? Then animal is Veda Pratyogi for a human being. So when you ask the question after the word different, if you ask the question from what, and the answer for the question from what, from which is called Bheda Pratiyogi. Got it? In Tarka Shastra, it's called Bheda Pratiyogi. And anything which has a Bheda Pratiyogi is said to have Vijatiya Bheda. And here, what is Bheda Pratiyogi for Sat? Sat is different from Asat. You can't say. You know why? Why? Because non-existent.
This can't be different.
Different. There's no non-existent. Therefore, Vijatiyam Veda is not there. Just to say Vijatiya Veda is not there, he uses the simple language, which is the language of a logician also. So, doubt, we should not have doubt at all. It must be 100% clear. So, Sat has no Veda Pratiyogi. Everything else in this universe has Veda Pratiyogi. So, everything is subject to Vijatiya Veda. Sat has no Veda Pratiyogi. Sat alone, only one thing which does not have Veda Pratiyogi is what? Sat. Brahma, isn't it? Therefore, Sat has no Bheda Pratyogi. You can't say existence is different from non-existence. Can you say that?
No.
Now, Shilu, you can ask the question. Existence is different from what? You can ask. From what? You will say non-existent. Where is non-existence? Show. Therefore, na asti iti gamyate, already he said. Therefore, yeniti ataha pratyogitvam nasti. It has no pratyogi. Veda pratyogi. Sat has no Veda pratyogi. Therefore, vijatiyat vidakutaha. Therefore, how can we say that there's vijatiya bheda? So, Sat has no vijatiya bheda. Sat is free from vijatiya bheda also.
There.
Okay, now at last it has been established now. In this 25th verse, Vijatiya Bheda, that being not subject to Vijatiya Bheda is established. Finished. Therefore, now we have to say what? Swagata Bheda, Swagata Sajatiya Vijatiya Bheda Rahitam Ekam Sat. Don't watch that. And I already told it 2 classes ago, I told it very clearly, the word Ekam negates Swagata Bheda, and then Advitiyam negates Sajatiya Bheda, Advaitam negates Vijatiya Bheda. So, that which is free from threefold differences. Now, therefore he says, Ekameva Advitiyam Sat, Ekameva Advitiyam Sat, Siddhamat Tratu kechana, siddhamatra tu kechana, yekame vadvitiyam sat, yekame vadvitiyam sat, siddhamatra tu kechana,
siddhamatra
tu kechana, vihvala asade vedam,
vihvala
asade vedam, Pura Siddhitya Vannayan,
Okay.
So there are two people now, the two groups. Again, second line, some Purapakshi is coming. Purapakshi are going to come, they say. Okay, before the Purapakshis come, let us understand only first line today. Ekam Eva Advitiyam Sat. Siddha Matra Tu Kechana. So for some people, it is doubtlessly very clear. Ekam Eva Advitiyam Sat. So what is there is only secondless, non-dual reality, the existence, pure existence. Existence alone is here. Existence with the Nama Rupa is what? The universe. Like water plus form and name is ocean. What is ocean? Water. Plus form and name. If we remove form and name, what will be there? Water. If we remove water, what will be there? You feel like saying water, na? No. If we remove water from the ocean, what will be there? Water. If we remove form and name, what will be there? Water. If we remove water, what will be there? Form and name will not be there. So, ekameva advitiyam sat siddham atra kechana. According to some people, it's very clear. All that is there is only secondless, non-dual reality, the existence. So now, before we go to the argument, possibly other school of people, other people, we have some objection has to be presented. Only then we'll have clarity, isn't it? Somebody has to come and always put some objection. Then you have to analyze. Then it is all for assimilation. It's all for mananam. Why mananam? Because when you learn and understand, you have shravana jnanam. You have a jnanam. But somebody comes and tells you, yeah, they are also right. Maybe. The doubt might come. That doubt should not be there. No. Your doubt must be very, very firm. Isn't it? So they say, it's called sthanu nikhanana nyaya in teaching. Sthanu nikhanana nyaya. Sthanu means poster. Any post is called, now post is called sthanu. A lump, no, a stump is called sthanu. So when you want to, you know, make put a stump, some post, maybe to pendle or something, and what should you do first? What is the first thing you should do before you put the post? It's not a temporary, our shamiana post, okay? That is useless. It'll fall on your head. That's not, when you want to put some proper pendle, what did you do? First to put the stump, you had to start digging. First you dig and make a hole. And that hole must be what? Not superficial. It must be very deep hole. That is, some part of stump should go inside. Only then it can stand. And the hole is not very deep, it will fall. It won't stand. For first of all, the stump, you have to make the stump, the thing stand. If the hole is not deep enough, you don't need to make the long hole where the whole stump will go inside. No. You have to, stump has to stand outside. It should serve the purpose. Isn't it? For the stump to stand outside, for the post to stand outside, stand, it must have a strong, it must be well, It must be well placed also. It should not be put, the whole, this post should not go inside the hole. But it must have a strong hold. So you dig and make a hole. It must be adequately deep. So you put the stump. So that what? The stump, as you put it in the hole, it doesn't fall. If it is not deep, you know, it's very shallow hole, it will fall. It can't even stand. So if the one must dig the hole in such a way that the stump can stand by itself. It won't fall immediately. But even though a stump is put, you have dug enough, you have put the post there, but still there's a place around that stump. Around that post, in the hole, there's a place, some space. Therefore, whatever space is there means movement will be there. That's why sthanuhu, something should not move means there should not be any place. Suppose somebody comes and puts tightly means I can't move like this. Now, a lot of space is there, I can move like this, isn't it? So, but if you put the post in the hole, which is deep enough for it to stand, at least it's standing. But even if it is standing, on the post which is standing, you cannot put something. For it to be strong enough, it should not move. If it should not move, there should not be any space around that post. What should you do? You put some sand again or soil again, small stones again, then nicely hit it, isn't it? So that you see the post doesn't move. There's no place around the post. So it can remain firm, strong, firm. The same way, when you do the Shastra Shravanam, the subject matter goes into your head, isn't it? Goes into the head. But still it's like, what now? It's like putting the post in the hole. But even after that, it can be shaken. If there's a hole, around the hole, it can be shaken. But it should be unshakable, firm, strong, isn't it? Sthira. It must be very firm. Which means you put small stones and sand and soil, and then I dig it and put water again, dig it again, put again, dig it. And so that how you should again shake and see, no, still moving. Again, dig it nicely. Again, you hit it nicely and put lots of small stones. Again, put soil. Again, put water also. So nicely push it so that it doesn't move at all. Isn't it? The same way, our understanding also must be what now? It's not enough if you simply understand. It must be unshakable, firm understanding, clear, doubt-free understanding. Doubt should not shake your understanding. It's called sthanu nikhanana nyaya. Sthanu means what now? Now digging and putting the post in the hole. That nyaya is used here. So, now other schools of thought. What do other people say? They have their own different views. Why should I say sat? Vaka, nothing was there before. People are going to say nothing was there before. This universe has come suddenly into existence. Is it asadvadinaha? We call them. Okay. Now they're going to say we are going to then all Buddhists. Okay, and we have the four Buddhist schools of thought. The four schools of thought. All of them are all Bauddhas. Buddhists are there. If there were four Buddhists of four different schools, they're going to say no. Nothing is there, shunyam, everything is going to come. Now Vidyaranya Swami loves Shankara and Shankara loves this also. They like to talk about this shunyavada, negate it, refute their vada. That is going to come from next line. But the first line alone we'll see today. Okay? I will start because next class we can start fresh. What are the different views of Buddha, the Buddhists? In one Bauddha matam, we have four different views. Four different contentions. So they will fight against each other, isn't it? So not for fighting. It's all for arriving at the right understanding. So which will start later on. But now, for some people, very clear, no doubt. Ekamevasi sad advitiyam sad asi ek. All that is, there is only one existence. Secondless, non-dual, reality. There is no reality other than existence. Now, what is reality? Let us take an example. See, with reference to a part, we say the reality is clay. The clay is not reality. Clay is reality. You have to say very carefully, use the word, okay? I should not say reality is clay, okay? Clay is reality. Very careful. With reference, I can't say. Very, very, very careful. In teaching, I should not say reality is clay, okay? Clay is reality. With reference to pot, the reality is what? The clay is reality. With reference to an ornament, gold is reality. With reference to furniture, wood is reality. With reference to ocean, water is reality. With reference to this, that bowl, plastic is reality. With reference to a given thing, what is reality? So you understand reality is that which lends existence to a given form. So water, the reality, we say water is reality with reference to ocean. It is water which lends existence to the form and name ocean. So the furniture, we say with reference to furniture, wood is reality because it is wood which lends existence to a given furniture, table or chair. So with reference to an ornament, gold is reality because gold lends existence to a chain, a form and name chain. So lending existence. So in what form do you understand the reality? In what form does reality obtain? If you see the reality, you can't understand. Existence is very subtle, abstract thing. Existence, what is the meaning of what existence? Does existence have form?
No.
You understand existence with reference to the ornament, the reality gold obtains in the form of existence of the form and name chain, ornament. In an effect, the reality obtained in the form of existence, the cause obtained in the form of existence of the in the effect. So understand existence. Understand. Therefore, there is existence. That existence is what? Existence and reality are not two different things. So we have to say existence is the being existent is what? Existence. Existence is the swarupam of the reality. Okay, nature. Existence is the nature of reality. Nature means, so how do you understand reality? I understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. How do you understand reality with reference to the ornament? I understand the reality gold, you know, in terms of the existence, in terms of nature of existence. In what form reality obtained? Name of existence. So we always understand the reality. Don't say existence now, okay? The reality, the truth, the abstract. We understand the reality in terms of the nature of existence. Why is the reality there as existence? That is how the reality can be. That's called nature. Why is the water, okay, there in the form of existence? That is how water can be with reference to ocean. The form of existence only. So being existent is equal to existence. And what is it? Existence? Nature. So we always understand the reality in terms of its nature or of existence. We can never arrive at reality as reality. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Very subtle teaching, very important lesson. We always understand the reality, the truth, in terms of its nature of existence.
And not the form.
Nature of existence.
Existence.
What is reality? How do you understand? In terms of its nature of existence. So with reference to the whole Jagat also, isn't it? We understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Got it? We understand the reality of the Jagat in terms of its nature of existence. And that existence, that therefore what now? What is its nature? That existence or is one. Existence is secondless. Existence is non-dual. Existence is free from vijatiya, sajatiya, swagata, bhedas. Is free from threefold limitations. It has no beginning. It has no end. It is free from time limitation. Existence has no time limitation. Existence has no beginning. Existence has no end. Existence is independent. So existence is free from time limitation. And existence is free from spatial limitation also. There's no place where existence is not. Anything is means what? Existence only.
Business.
So existence is free from spatial limitation. Existence is free from object limitation. Existence is free from time limitation. Therefore, existence is of the nature of limitlessness, which is the nature of the very reality. Therefore, that existence, so we can say the whole Jagat, you can say what now? Like existence with form and name is the universe. Existence minus form and name is what? Existence. Therefore, when you don't count the form and name, because the form and name are mithya, then you have to say what? Only existence, which is the nature. You understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Therefore, which is of the nature of limitlessness, imprinted by the word Brahma. Hope you understand what I'm saying. It's all nothing new here. Repeated lesson, but something is reinforced. Therefore, this noun must be very, very clear. We can never say existence is one, ever singular word. There's a second existence, non-dual, secondless, all-pervasive, timeless, space limitless. Object is limitless. Is it? Brahma. So we understand existence. And this definitely, therefore existence is implied by the word Brahma. The reality is, we understand the reality in terms of the nature of existence, and which is, okay, implied by the word of Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Because existence itself is what? Existence is free from all limitations. Very abstract. And there's nothing which is not pervaded in and through by existence. Existence pervades everything. Anything is means what? That is stands for isness, existence only. Whether you say chair is, tree is, space is, time is, anything, Jagat is, universe is means is stands for isness, existence. Isn't it? Existence alone is. There is only existence. There is only existence. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. There's only existence. There's no such a thing called non-existence at all. There's no pratyogi. Bheda pratyogi is not there. Only existence. What is existence? Existence is the reality. Like with reference to ornament, gold is reality. With reference to furniture, is it? Wood is reality. With reference to Jagat, existence is reality. And that existence, which is reality with reference to the Jagat, are we experiencing or not? If we say, reality, when you're experiencing the universe, you are experiencing nothing but reality as what? Existence. But the reality you're experiencing as existence, isn't it, is not just the pure existence. It's like when you're experiencing the ocean, you're experiencing the form ocean, isn't it? With the name ocean, when you're experiencing the form and name ocean, you are actually experiencing water. You can never experience ocean without experiencing the water. Experience of the ocean is nothing but experience of the water. Similarly, experiencing the universe is nothing but experiencing Brahman in terms of existence. But when you're experiencing ocean, you're experiencing water with the form and name. The same way, experiencing the universe, you're experiencing existence with the form and name. No, I want to experience just existence without the form and name. If I say ocean, I can say easily, you know, experience. I want to experience pure water. What is pure water? Water with form and name is manifestation of water. Water minus form and name is pure water. You don't need to physically anything, okay? Cognitively, intellectually, delete the form and name and you understand pure water. Water with form and name is called what? Manifestation of water. Water minus form and name is what? Pure water. We add the adjective pure just to say, to distinguish it from, just to distinguish it from Namrupa. Similarly, what is this Jagat? Reality, you understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Your existence is reality, and existence with the former name is the universe. Therefore, when you're experiencing the universe, you're experiencing existence, which is implied by the word Brahma, which is of the nature of limitlessness. You're experiencing Brahma as what? As existence with the form of universe. So you want, if you say, I want to experience existence, pure existence without form and name, you cannot experience, okay? So you cognitively, so existence minus form and name is what? Pure existence. You can never experience. The pure existence will never be available for experience. Why? Because pure existence is not an object of knowledge. Pure existence is not available for objectification. Pure existence is not at all an object. Therefore, not available for sense perception or thought conception or word description. So what is pure existence then? You just use the word pure. What is pure? There is not the sense of impure existence. There is only existence. To distinguish the existence from form and name universe, you are adding the adjective pure. So what is that existence minus form and name? Existence minus form and name is pure existence, which cannot be experienced. If you're experiencing any form and name, you're experiencing existence. Minus form and name, it is not available for experience. But that pure existence, minus form and name, is available for recognition, available for cognition, recognition. But not as an object, but as the very subject, as the truth of the subject. When you recognize the existence as pure existence, as the truth of the subject, you understand that existence is nothing but consciousness. Consciousness and existence are not two different things. It's like saying, when, with reference to ocean, you're experiencing the ocean, you're experiencing what? You're experiencing the existence of the ocean is what? The existence of what? So with reference to ocean, water is the existence. Similarly, with reference to the entire cosmos, here there's no existence of the universe other than consciousness. There are two different things. You can't take the word existence and go and search for the meaning of it. You can't search for the object, chair. There's the object. Every word has a corresponding. Every word takes your attention to its corresponding object, chair, board, wall, apple, man, woman, tree, leaf, fruit, flower. Every word will take your attention to a corresponding object, existence. It can't take you to one given form, okay? Because existence is every object which enjoys, every object which is experienced enjoys existence. So if we look for it, that existence and consciousness are not two different things. The consciousness alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Like water is in the form of existence of the ocean, consciousness is in the form of existence of the universe. So absolute existence, absolutely, what is that one thing which lends existence to all the causes and all the effects and all the forms and all the names, everything? Existence of time, existence enjoyed by time and space, existence enjoyed by all the forms and names which exist within the realm of time and space is nothing but consciousness. And consciousness you can always arrive at as the truth of I, experiencer, not as an object. And therefore, like conscious existence are one and the same. Therefore, what is the nature of the reality? What is the nature of the reality? So you arrive at the reality, which is of the nature of existence. No? As, again, in terms of its nature of knowledge. In fact, knowledge also is a word. Reality cannot be indicated by any word. No word can indicate reality. So you understand the reality in terms of its nature. Suppose, why do you say, oh, reality is, it's not that knowledge, consciousness also is not the word. No word can be used to indicate reality. Consciousness, awareness, knowledge, all these words we use in terms of the nature. In what, no? Why? When you arrive at its nowhere, is a nowhere is, no? There's nowhere. How do you say that? Nowhere is a status attributed to the reality obtaining there. And how, in what form does the reality obtain? In what form does the reality obtain? In the form of knowledge. So even knowledge is what? Surup only. So you arrive at the reality, in reality, which is of the nature of existence. No, in terms of its nature of knowledge. So knowledge and existence are what? The nature of reality only. These two, knowledge and existence, you know, are the words used. You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. In terms of its nature of existence. There, and that reality is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore imprinted with the word Brahma. At least this must be very clear. Got it now? Therefore, there is no fraction of second we are not experiencing. That is why we can never experience Brahma. Why? Every experience is Brahma. Is it clear now? So here, the first line that is made very clear. Ekameva advitiyam sat siddham. It is very clear. Atra to kechana. See, idanim sthuna nikhanana nyayena sad advaitameva dradayitum. Now, so this sat, this existence is one secondless non-dual reality. One secondless non-dual reality. Something other than sat. This fact has to be reinforced, established. It should be made doubt-free. Now we have the knowledge of Brahman being existence. The existence being one secondless non-duality, non-dual reality is very clear. It's a clear. We understood. But still doubt should not be there. Yes, definitely there is no reality with reference to universe other than existence. And the existence is one only. It is secondless. It is non-dual. Therefore, this sat was there before also. The sat, the existence, obtaining of existence of the form and name universe, was there before without the form and name. Understand? This existence, which is now with the form and name universe, was there before without the form and name universe. When it was there without the form and name universe, how was it? It was there as reality. And that reality, you arrive at as what? In terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, sat was there before. The same sat is here now also. Before sat was without the form and name, no, sat is with form and name. Without form and name, with form and name. That's all. Sat was, sat is. Brahman was, Brahman is. Existence was, existence is. Before pure existence, non-accessible, non-interactable, non-recognizable because no form and name. Now, existence was not with the form and name universe. It was, it is. But this has to become very clear. So in order to reinforce, in order to make it doubt-free, clear understanding, knowledge. So it's called sthanu nikhanana nyaya. I'm not saying it because here, for this particular verse, in fact, I didn't even look into the this. I just was talking myself. Well, now I read it. I didn't even read before. I myself said that, okay? It's called mananam. Manana means the teacher is supposed to create more doubts in you. The teacher himself now presents some purapakshis. Purapakshi means what? The one who raises objection. No, 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 I don't believe. The universe was not there before. It was not there before. They have to say that. It has been created. It was not there before means it has been created. Therefore, there is a theory of creation. Isn't it? Now, first we start with the Bodhas, then we'll go on by one. And this is called what now? Why we have to, how, what are the views of other people? So, according to Vedanta Shastram, There is no creation at all. Sat was there before. Sat is now also in the form of universe. Atthi has been created. If this is not creation, means what is this universe? Only appearance. It's called manifestation. Again, it will become unmanifest. Isn't it? Which means, in this, what is that is manifest as the universe? Then you have to say, I. You had to arrive at that reality as what? Only I. Then you have to resolve the I also. Then you have to say, what is the only truth is there? Then it helps you solve lots of emotional issues, our problems. Why are we interested in knowing this? Where it will help us resolve all our, in understanding this truth, understanding this fact, all our human misery will be resolved for good. That's why we are interested. But here the doubt may come, isn't it? No, I don't believe. The universe has been created. Is why it is created? Because it was not there before. Nothing was there before. It has come newly into existence. It has been created. So people start. And all those, their different views of creation are going to be taken for discussion. And all the doubts have to be, okay, and all those schools of thought, different views of different schools of thought have to be refuted. Not simply argue, no? Logically, they have to be refuted. Isn't it? When they're refuted, what happens now? Your understanding of the oneness of, the secondlessness of, the non-duality of the reality will be reinforced and firm. And that, so the resolving the doubts and making one understanding firm when it is done, that methodology used here is called Sthana Nikanana Nyaya. It's going to begin here. Okay? So we'll continue in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vastishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om.